Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, we are talking about how you can use your personal brand to unlock career opportunities. And when we were thinking about this episode and what we were going to talk about, Jackie shared the amazing pie theory, which I'd actually not heard about until we started talking through it. But it's actually a really good framework that you can use to support you in basically shaping your personal brand and using it to progress in your career. So I'm just going to go straight over to Jackie and say, tell us what the pie theory is, because I absolutely loved it when she talked me through it earlier. So I'm sure you'll all enjoy hearing about it too.
Yeah, and I love it as well. And I love the simplicity of it. I love the fact that it's really straightforward. And also it often really helps some light bulbs ping for people about if they've had frustrations about maybe why aren't they getting the opportunities they want, or why are they seeing people who they don't perceive as being that amazing and they seem to have all these amazing opportunities, answer some of those questions. Pie theory is the theory that there are three elements to career success, developed back in the 90s by an American author. And he ascribes a chunk of your career success to each of three areas. So your P in pie is performance. And this is an area where typically people like to think that if you perform well, you're going to progress, you're going to get on. So people will get their heads down, be performing well, and then be like, well, this is annoying. Why am I not getting the opportunities? And in this theory, he only ascribes 10% of career success to performance. And we'll come back to investigate why that is and talk a bit more about it later. But the kind of key light bulb for people in that is, oh, okay, that's only 10%. What are the other things? And the I and the E, he talks about image and exposure. And the way that he describes them is that image is your personal brand, effectively. It's what other people think of you. It's how consistently other people think that of you. And he would reckon that it's roughly about 30% of your career success that comes from your reputation, which leaves a whopping 60% coming from exposure. This is about how you effectively bring together your performance and how you're performing with your personal brand and how other people perceive you, and amplify that by being more visible, making sure that more people know of you, know of that reputation, so that you are then front of mind and so that you create more of those opportunities for yourself. So once people start to get their heads around A, the proportions of these as part of the model, but B, what they actually mean, then it puts them back in the driving seat to be able to be really intentional about how they want to create career opportunities for themselves.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? And especially the bit around performance, because we see so many people, don't we, who are just head down in the day job, just, you know, working through those to-do lists and trying to be the best performer and trying to stand out through performance. But what you're essentially saying with this is that performance is like the smallest part of career progression.
It really is. And when I describe it to people, so a lot of my leadership development work, I just say that it's what I needed when I was 27. It's the stuff that when I first got that promotion into a leadership role, this is the stuff that I needed to know. And I think I was pretty typical at that kind of stage of my career in that I got that opportunity, my own perception at that time was that was because of my performance. So I believed that the opportunities had happened because I'd performed well. And to a degree, I kind of ascribed some of it to luck. I went into a fast-growing company, and that gave me a real opportunity as the company grew to be able to grow with it, which not everybody gets. But essentially, what that meant was then later in my career, I had some of those frustrations. And I would say things like, I don't want to play the politics game. It's tiring. I don't want to have to seek to impress. And the idea of exposure, when I describe the model to people are just, ugh, it just feels icky. It feels like you've got to be one of those people that's constantly on LinkedIn talking up how amazing you are. And that doesn't feel very true to me. But what this model really is, when you get under the skin of it, is a really practical way to understand. And like you say, that performance element, it doesn't differentiate you. It's assumed that people are performing. So it therefore stops being something that sets you apart and just puts you as someone, is the way I've described it before, is it's a ticket to get to the show. It's not the winning ticket with all the extravaganza attached.
Yeah, it's for most people, I think that will be a fairly new concept and a new way of thinking and possibly a new way of working, because for most people, it is all about the performance, isn't it? And this, I'm just thinking, people stay in jobs for longer than they need to, longer than they should, because they're just trying to get that little bit more experience. They're trying to show that they can perform that little bit better all of the time. So actually what you're saying here is that as this is a small part of it, there is more to this, and the focus should probably be shifted to the areas that are going to count for more. I suppose the next part of that is the image and perception, isn't it? So how does that play in? If the performance is only a smaller part, the image and perception then, which is probably one of the harder parts that I would have thought, how can people use that to grow and to progress?
This really is about understanding that image and perception. I think people often, and we talked about it when we did the episode on personal brand as a leader, but image and perception, I think people often feel like, oh, it's quite manipulative. I don't really feel comfortable trying to create an image or a perception of me in a certain way, or I don't know how to go about it. And what I say to people when I'm talking through this model is, you can either have an image that's created by design and intentionally and take actions in order to create the reputation that you want to have, or it will happen by accident, because everybody has a reputation. Everybody has a personal brand. And if you leave it to chance, what you tend to find is that there's inconsistencies. So you will find that you will naturally have one type of reputation with people that you work closely with. And I find that people in leadership roles often base a lot of what they think their reputation is on what their team would say. And that's admirable to a degree, because it's important to make sure that you are considering how do your team perceive you. If you've got to lead them, you want them to consider you in a positive light and to be willing to follow. Otherwise, you're not much of a leader. But it's not enough to see it in that narrow perspective. You've got to think about what are some of those broader perspectives. So the things that my team would think and perceive about me, is that the same as what my peers and colleagues would perceive of me? Is that the same as what other people within the organization, and then broader than that within the industry? So you've got things like, what do clients or suppliers think of, or what's their understanding or beliefs about you based on their interactions with you? When you are looking for roles, there's having that perception that you create with recruiters that you might come across, or headhunters, depending on what level of role that you're aspiring to. And it's about that kind of consistency, and how do you create this same impression so that you are known for something, and so that there is consistency in the way that those varying groups of people experience you. They will experience you still in different contexts, but fundamentally, would they all get the same kind of impression? And when you think of it like that, I think it feels far less manipulative than this idea of, oh, I've got to manage my image and manage how people perceive me, can feel quite kind of political. But when you think of it more in terms of how do I create the degree of consistency so that people's experience and perception is similar, even if I don't have huge amounts to do with them, or even if they are somebody external, as opposed to somebody that I work with day in, day out on my team, how do I get to that place?
Yeah, and that is so true. And I suppose as well, like when you first start talking through image and perception, like the place I go to is thinking about being suited and booted and creating this really smart image and showing people by how I dress, how I come across and all of that kind of stuff. And then my mind then goes to the impact on my bank balance and all of that kind of stuff. But it's not really about, is it, like that kind of image?
That would form an element of it. So people will kind of form perceptions, but that's not really the substance of it. That, again, that's a bit like with performance, where that's a smaller element. Some people will, for example, express themselves very clearly in terms of their public image. Some people will always wear bright colours or will have a really bright hair colour. Some people will be suited and booted and be super smart wherever they go. Others will have more casual. And this is not saying a professional you should try and think and act and show up and dress and behave in the way of those kinds of 1980s stereotypes, really, aren't they? You know what I mean? This is very different than that. This is about finding ways that are true to you, that are not trying to copy or emulate other people, but that are just things that you do in line with what you want to be known for. Like I say, it's that difference between it happening by accident and you leaving it to chance based on people's interaction with you, or you being really aware of, okay, this is what, and a question that I often ask people is, okay, when you move on from this role that you're in, maybe 2 to 3 years, if you're doing a handover, passing the baton on to somebody else, at that point, what do you want to have accomplished? What do you want to be remembered for? And again, we talked about that in the episode on personal brand as a leader, but it's really pertinent to this as well, because it's about getting really intentional with behaving in ways that create that impression.
Yeah, I love that, because when you do think of personal brand and image and perception, I know for me, the first thing I'll think of is, what am I going to wear? How do I come across and things like that? And it obviously is a lot deeper than that. But I do think you're right with the stereotypes, and those are almost like the 1980s stereotypes. Like, that is what a lot of people will go to, because that is like what society teaches us, isn't it? But one of the things that I was just thinking of is, as you were talking through that, in order to understand what your team think about you, your peers, your suppliers, all of those external stakeholders and people that you're working with on a daily basis, like, how do you come across to them? I think it takes a huge amount of self-awareness as well. And I think as part of thinking about your personal brand and all of this stuff that links into personal brand, I think self-awareness is absolutely crucial.
You're so right. It really is. And often I think people will feel a little bit uncomfortable about that self-awareness, because if you are then effectively, what you can create when you become more self-aware is you can create a situation where you notice things that need to change. You might notice those inconsistencies, or you might notice from the way people interact with you that you haven't created the same impression over here as you have over there. And I think sometimes there can be a temptation to avoid that degree of self-awareness because it can feel painful. And that is natural and it's understandable. But equally, that knowledge is power. And once you realize how those things differ, then you can start to get underneath the skin of it. So it's about doing that, but not beating yourself up about it. If you haven't been intentional about creating that perception in others, then why would it be all consistent and all the same? And it's unlikely to be in the early stages. So that self-awareness is a good thing. It's good to understand that it can feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's good to do it anyway.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you mentioned as well when we were talking before we started recording around reputation, and that your reputation needs to be true to you and who you are. And it's not just about setting a perception based on what you think you should be or what you think others expect you to be, but almost deciding on what is right for you and then choosing the behaviors and actions that feel right to you, the ones that you can then run with all of the time. And I feel like that self-awareness piece links in really nicely with that, because it's being self-aware enough to know that you are being you, that you are showing up as you, and asking for the feedback and making the changes that you need to make along the way to be the best version of you, rather than just trying to emulate somebody else.
Yeah. And I was working with a client recently who's not long started their new role. And one of the things that we were talking about was this kind of thing of, okay, so what's important to you as you're having these induction meetings, as you are in this new situation? What are the things that you want people to notice and you want people to remember about you? And a lot of that came back to things like personal values, your own character traits, your personality and your preferences. It's not going to work if you are a huge introvert and you feel like you want to create this impression of you as a charismatic extrovert. That isn't going to be true to you. And there's going to be a real disconnect, because people will be able to tell that you are acting a part. None of us is as good an actor as we think we are. Whereas when you lean into, okay, so this is who I am, this is, and I think it's separating, for me, it's separating your personality and your preferences and what comes naturally versus you can build the skills of communicating. We did the episode on how to be more assertive. That's not saying that everybody needs to go out and start being riding roughshod over other people. The whole point there was there are behavioral skills that can allow you to create an impression of being more assertive without changing your personality. And I think that's really applicable to this situation as well, where your image has to be true to you. And like you say, that self-awareness piece of who are you at your core? What are your values? What matters to you? What are your own strengths? What are your talents? And how does that all fit with how you want to create that impression? It's going to be so much easier to do it when you find a way that is true to you, but it does need some upfront thinking and self-awareness.
Yeah, definitely. And I think once you've decided on what all of that looks like, or you're at least starting to work through that, I suppose the next thing then is leveraging the exposure and the visibility, isn't it? What is the best way to go about doing that?
I would imagine there's a fair few people out there that potentially are thinking, so I ran a group session on this topic last week, and quite a few sort of heads of and director level people. And one of the things that came out from that conversation was a fair few were like, okay, now I see where the gap is, because actually I do feel that I'm pretty consistent. I do feel that I know myself fairly well. I do feel that I'm true to myself and I'm definitely underperforming. The bit that's missing is the exposure. And this is the area where essentially what you're doing is bringing together your performance, and you're using visibility to widen the circle of people who have a belief in your potential. So if you've got that image bit right and you're true to yourself and you're comfortable with that, and you're still not getting opportunities, there's a very good chance that what you haven't been intentional about is creating. So I talk about create opportunities, don't wait for opportunities. And I think this is what the exposure and visibility piece is all about. It's understanding, where are the opportunities? Where are the ways that I can knowing what my image is, knowing what people's perception is, how can I utilize that to get that message to a wider circle of people? Because if 10 people know that who I am and what I'm about and what I'm capable of and believe in me, then I'm relying on one of those 10 people being aware of an opportunity. If 1,000 people know, then suddenly I've magnified the number of people who might bear me in mind. And the very simplest thing that often comes up here is I will say to people, okay, how many people in your current organization know that you want to progress and know what kind of role you want to progress into? And there's suddenly a shocked look and silence normally in response to that, because a lot of people are not very good at being explicit about what they want in terms of progression. They worry that they might be seen as a flight risk. They worry that people might think they're too big for their boots, all of these kinds of things. And also there is that element as well of they rely on that performance bit and their image and think that's enough. But actually you've only got 40% of your career success covered with those. So this is the final element.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because this is something that comes up for quite a few of my clients as well when they're looking for new roles, because a lot of the time they will discount those internal promotions simply because they don't want people to know that they're looking to move or they're looking to move upwards. And it is really simple, isn't it? You don't have to let people think that you're looking for a new job or anything, but you can just simply start talking about your career plans, your ambitions, how you'd like to help drive the business forward. You can mention it to your own manager. You can mention it to their managers. You don't have to keep it to yourself. You don't have to always look outside. And I think a lot of people overlook internal promotions because they're worried about people they work with find out that they want to move on.
And not even necessarily even promotions. Sometimes there are other opportunities for equivalent roles that will expand your skill set, that will give you more variety or more flexibility or different opportunities, and just really refresh and bring back to life this sense of it's not Groundhog Day. I'm not doing the same thing waiting for the next opportunity. But if you haven't told people that this is what I'd like, then you can't be surprised that they don't come offering it to you on a plate.
Yeah. And that's the truth of it, isn't it? And I know it, like from my own career, as soon as I started putting it out there, what I wanted, the opportunities did come in. Now, I think one of the things that I found as well is the opportunities that were presented to me weren't always the opportunities that were right for me. And I think it's easy, isn't it, to sometimes get wrapped up in that and get a little bit excited. So it is about making sure that when you're thinking about this and going through it, that you get that clarity of where you want to go, so that you almost go through a process when somebody offers you or presents you with an opportunity, you can go, right, does this fit in with my career plan? Does this fit in with where I want to go? Is this going to benefit me or is this going to benefit them or the business? And almost go through that process map of, is this the right thing for me? And then you can make a decision around that. And you can also feel great that people are starting to listen and starting to present you with these opportunities that, had you not said anything, had you not shown how ambitious you were, you would never have heard of these things.
Absolutely. And I think that's telling people what you're keen for is just the very tip of the iceberg. There's so many other ways to build that kind of exposure and to be more visible. With, again, so many of these are really simple things. So it can be things like approaching people, whether that's internally or externally, who you would see in a bit of a mentor capacity. So that could be somebody that has made the type of career steps that you'd like to make, and you just approach them and say, can I ask? I can see that this is what you've done in your career. I'd really like to create more of those opportunities. Do you have any advice for me? And that doesn't have to be a big thing or asking people for an ongoing mentoring relationship. It can be as simple as, have you got any advice for me? Be specific if you're going to do it, because if you just say, I really admire you and I think you've had a great career, have you got any advice? They're kind of, it's too general. Our old favorite, specificity. So be specific if you're asking for guidance or advice. But also it could be, if it is somebody, if you're in a bigger organization, especially, who's maybe had exposure to a different area, or who you think actually they do this thing really well, we've talked before about coffee chats and approaching somebody and just saying, would you mind if I bought you a coffee and I'd really love to hear about this thing? People love being thought of well and love the fact that you are looking up to them and wanting to listen to their advice. They won't always have loads of time. They might not respond. That's fine. If they don't, you're still no worse off than where you are. But if they do, then potentially you've got some real gold nuggets and you've put yourself on their radar as somebody who shows initiative, is ambitious, wants an opportunity. So there is no lose, as far as I'm concerned, from those kinds of things. And then you've got things like taking on more projects or more high profile projects, offering to speak in front of the board or an annual conference or something like that. Those types of things that get your name, your team, your work in front of more people can be really invaluable, because at some point in the future, if they're talking about a career path or progression or wanting to retain you and your name comes up and people have heard of you and know, have that memory, they're much more likely to buy into that than if you're just relying on your boss to sell you to the rest of the organization.
Yeah, I love that. So give us your final thoughts then on the pie theory, because I think this is for ambitious leaders and managers, like this is going to be pretty game changing if you can get under the skin of this and really use it to drive your career forward. So what would you say are the key points to think about?
So I think if I were to describe it in a nutshell as a takeaway message, it would be you get paid for your performance, but you get career success and further opportunities based on other people's assessment of your potential. So look at how you can influence that. And that's where you're going to create the types of opportunities that you might feel frustrated you're not getting right now.
Amazing. And if you are listening and you are preparing for a promotion yourself, you're starting to think about it, or if you're in a new leadership role and you feel like you could do with some support around that to really grow within that role, then do get in touch with us, because under our Catalyst Careers brand, we do provide group workshops and one-to-one support. And then you can also speak to Jackie on an individual basis too. So get in touch if this sounds like the type of support that you might need, and we'll be able to provide all of the information and different options available. So thank you for listening to this week's episode. As usual, please do share it with anybody that you think might find it useful, or anybody that you know that's not heard of the podcast yet. And don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. The more you do it, the more people will hear about us and be able to listen to the podcast. And as usual, we will be back next week with another episode.